We now begin the sixth chapter of Masechet Shavuos, and we now transition to sort of the final topic that the Masechta deals with, which is the oaths, the Shavuos, that a Beis Din will administer in a court when a person is facing a claim, some monetary claim. So meaning, up to now we've been talking about the last three prakim, those have been self-volunteered or self-administered, Shavuos, Shavuos Bitui, Shavuos Shav, Shavuos Ha'edus, and Shavuos Ha'pikadon, but now we're going on to Shavuos that are administered by the courts, and really there are three categories there also. We have Shavuos Midoraisa, Shavuos Torah, and we have Shavuos that are Durabanan, and then we also have something which is really not featured in our mission, truth, but is part of the larger picture, which is this thing called Shavuos Heset, which is administered by also by the courts, but it was an institution that came up after the mission was already codified. So let's just talk about those Shavuos HaDayanam, these different oaths that are administered by the Dayanam in a court. So Midoraisa, we have three, and all three have the common theme of being a situation in which a person is a defendant, he's facing a claim, and in order to not have to pay, he swears. Okay, that's the only scope, that's the entire scope of Shavuos Midoraisa in court. And they come in three occasions. The first occasion, which is the topic of the sixth parak, really, our chapter here, it's called the Shavuos Moda B'miktzas, when a person admits to a partial claim, but also denies part of the claim. So in that scenario, he has to pay what he admits to, of course, but the part that he denies, he won't have to pay, but he will have to swear that he doesn't owe it. Okay? Then you have the Shavuos Eid Echad, which is when there's a single witness who is testifying for the sake of the plaintiff, saying that the defendant owes money. The defendant denies it. Now, the defendant doesn't have to pay because he hasn't got two witnesses speaking against him to confirm the lucky fact that he owes the money. But since there is one witness, the Torah requires him at least to swear he doesn't owe the money if he's not going to pay it. That's the Shavuos Eid Echad. And then finally, the topic of the eighth parak, the final parak of the Masechta, is the Shavuos HaShomrim. That's a scenario in which a person served as a custodian, as a guardian, a shomer, and then something happened with the object that he was guarding, whether it was stolen, it was lost, it was broken, it was whatever, and the custodian is claiming he doesn't, he's exempt from making the deposit or whole for some reason which is really specific to the exemptions that he has, depending on what type of custodian, what type of shomer he was. So again, he'll have to take a series of oaths, essentially saying that it's not his fault that it happened, he wasn't negligent, he didn't misappropriate what he was looking at, and he doesn't have it now, and then he'll be exempt from paying. Okay, so those are all Doraisa Shavuos, the old administration of the Beis Din. Since they're Doraisa Shavuos, they're done in what's called a form that's called Nakitas Chayfetz. When he makes his oath in the court, the defendant will be holding a Davar Shebekedusha, a holy thing, like a Sefer Torah or some tefillin, again, swearing to the effect that whatever he's saying is true. And the idea is the Sefer Torah or the tefillin are there to sort of impose on him the weight that he's essentially saying as much as he believes in Hashem, he believes it's true that he doesn't owe the money, and that adds weight to make him swear truthfully. As far as how the rabbinic ones are administered, we can discuss that a little bit later on, okay? If the person who needs to swear Midoraisa refuses to do so, then the court will take his money. They'll make the plaintiff whole because he has an option, either swear or pay. If he won't pay and won't swear, then the court will essentially take money from him. So here the first topic of our parak here, parak vav, is the parameters for when one is liable to make the Shavuos Moda B'miktzas. So the basic idea here is that there has to be a significant claim and a significant admission. If a person doesn't admit to anything or anything significant, that's not enough. And even if he admits to something, it has to be that there's a big enough claim involved or big enough denial involved that it's, so to speak, worth it for him to take a Shavuah, so to speak. So the mission will discuss the parameters of that right now. It says, Shavuos HaDayanim, when it comes to a Shavuah that's administered by a court, and really, although not literally translated at all, this is referring specifically to the Shavuah Moda B'miktzas. It definitely is not referring to the Shavuah Eid Echad and so on. So that's that. It's Hataina Shtei Kesef. If one, the plaintiff claims he's owed two silver coins. Now, there, of course, are a host of silver coins in the wallets of the people in the time of the Mishnah. But because it says shtei, which is a feminine word, it's clear we're talking about the only one silver coin, which is a feminine word, and that is the word ma'os, okay, which is essentially the smallest of the silver coins. So he's claiming for two ma'os of kesef. The ma'a is a sixth of a dinar. Dinar is sort of like the most used coin they had at the time. Okay, so a sixth of that is a ma'a, and he's claiming, the plaintiff is saying he's owed two of those, or a third of a dinar. Vahoda b'shava pruta. And the admission, in terms of the mode of mikzas, a partial admission, is worth at least a pruta, meaning it's at least a pruta. If it were less than a pruta, it wouldn't count as an admission of anything. That's when the shvua mode of mikzas kicks in. Okay, we're going to explain that a little more in a moment. But the Mishnah says another point, a different point, which we won't explore in this Mishnah, which is ve'ein ha'hoda m'min ha'taina. Excuse me, ve'im, and if ein ha'hoda m'min ha'taina, if the admission doesn't overlap at all with the stuff that was claimed. In other words, the plaintiff says you owe me buckets of wheat, and the defendant says I owe you just some buckets, and there are barley. So there's no overlap at all because it's barley versus wheat, and so on. Then Potter, it's not called Motor Mixas, and he'll be exempt from taking a Shua. More on that part of it later. But now the Mishnah goes back to the first part and it says Ketzad. I'm explaining this Mishnah according to Rav. If you learn the Gemara, there's Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Shmuel's reading of this Mishnah is not straightforward at all. I'm ignoring that. The Bar Tanur ignores it. He goes with Rav. We're going with Rav here as well. So Ketzad, when does the obligation kick in? If Shtei Kesef Li Biyadecha, if Reuven says to Shimon, you have two of my ma'os of value, and you owe them back to me. And Shimon responds, Ein lecha biyadi ela pruta. He says, nope, I only have one pruta of yours. So then, pater. Then Shimon, the accused, will be pater for making a shvua smotav mikzas. Because why? Because the claim was for two ma'os. The basic exchange rate is that there are going to be 32 prutos in one ma'a. So essentially, the claim is for 64 prutos, if you will, of value. Right, two ma'os is 64 prutos. And of the 64, the accused, Shimon, is saying, I owe you one, which means he's admitting to one, and therefore he's denying 63, which is less than two ma'os of value. And according to Rav, and we're explaining the Mishnah here, the denial has to be at least 64 prutos of value, two ma'os, and since it isn't that much, so then Pater didn't meet the condition, a part he admits was worth a pruta at least, so that is one of the two requirements, but the part he's denying doesn't add up to the value of two ma'os, that's a pruta less than two ma'os, and therefore it'd be pater. In contrast, if the original claim was for shtei kesef upruta, libiadecha, Reuven says to Shimon, you have two ma'os and a pruta of mine in your hand, so that would be, call it, that's a width of 65 prutos. And the accused says, Ein lecha biyadi ela pruta. He says, I admit to the pruta, but I deny the two ma'os. So since he's admitting to at least a pruta, and he's denying a full value of two ma'os, then chayev, then he'll have to give the modu mitzvah shfuah. Another case here, which, let's see. Man li biyadecha, if Reuven says to Shimon, you have a mane of mine. A mane is 100 dinar, I mean, you have a lot of my money. And Shimon responds back, Ein lecha biyadi. Shimon says, nothing doing. I don't have that money, not a penny of it. I don't owe you a cent. Then Pater, he's exempt from Shvuas Motor Mikzas because, again, there's no hodah, there's no admission to any part of the claim. He may well be liable to a Shvuas Hesed, and lahalacha he would be, okay? Because that's the Mishnah doesn't consider that. It's beyond the scope of the Mishnah, like I said before. It's something that was enacted after the Mishnah's time. It's Amoraic. But the point is, this is called a full call for a call. He's denying the whole thing. But as far as Motor Mikzas goes, there's no claim. He's Pater. If the claim is Manali Biyadecha, Reuven says to Shimon, you have 100 dinar of mine. And Shimon responds back, Ein lecha biyadi elecha mishim dinar. He says, nope, I only have 50 dinar of you, and I'm denying the other 50. Then chai, then he has to take a shvua on the rest. Now, there's no real chiddush here, ostensibly, right? Because we already said the exact requirements are a pruta admission and just two ma'os denial. And here we've got a much bigger amount of both. So it's a question why you have to say this at all. So the Pashat reading would be, it's actually no chiddush, it's just setting up the next case of the Mishnah to contrast it. Although the Teres Yisrael does speak out that the Mishnah does come to address a chiddush, an extra point, which is, you might have thought incorrectly that in such a scenario like this, the person who's doing the denying, the accused, has what's called a migo, which migo basically is a Talmudic principle which says, believe my claim, because if I were a liar, I could have made a much better claim. In this case, anyways, if I really owed you 100 and I'm denying admitting to 50, and I have to pay you 50, what would I do that if I'm a liar? I would just admit to 2 and, you know, not pay 98 and get away with it. So obviously you could believe me. That's the thought. But the point of the Mishnah is no. The Doraisa rules are, once you admit to part and deny part, assuming that the parts you're admitting and denying are significantly large, sufficiently large, I should say, so then you must do the Motu Miktzah Shvua. Okay, fine. The last part of the Mishnah says a different point, which is, if the claim is mana la'aba biyadecha, you have 100 dinar that belong to my father, now I'm his heir, I've come to collect what was really his, and now is rightfully mine, and the accused says, en lecha biyadi, elecha mishim dinar, and the accused says, nope, I only have 50, meaning I don't know what, it was only 50, or I paid back the other 50, whatever the story is. So then, this is, of course, like, he's making a partial admission to what's claimed of him, but nevertheless, pater, he's still exempt from making a shvua. Why? Mipnei shehu kameshiv aveda, because the person who is the, call him the creditor, the accused, is got the status of someone who's, like, returning a lost object. The idea here is that we're assuming in the Mishnah that the heir who's making this claim is what's doing what's called a tainas shema. He's claiming out of doubt. He's not certain the money's owed because children don't really know all the detailed financial movements of their parents. So this child knows there was some loan that was made, maybe, but he has no idea if it was partially repaid or something. And therefore, he can claim with certainty. And for motu miktzah to be valid recourse, it needs to be that the claimant is saying with certainty. And that's not happening here. So the defendant, the accused, could just, like, essentially brush him off, and therefore anything he's giving essentially is giving back out of, I want to call it, he's doing the right thing, but the point is he couldn't be forced in the court anyway, so therefore he's got the status of, like, someone who, like, found a lost object. If the accused guy found this kid's wallet, so then, of course, he's supposed to give it back, but the kid could never force him to give it back if he doesn't know he has it, so therefore it's like he's doing a favor. And there's a special takana, takanas chachamim, the rabbis enacted, that when a person returns a lost object, he doesn't, let's say you lost your wallet and $100 inside it when you lost it, and now I give you back, I say, listen, I found your wallet, here it is, and there's only $50 inside. You say, wait a second, there was 100, and I say, oh, well, I don't know what I just only know about this, the 50 that remains, and you want to make me swear, like, as if motive makes us, you're claiming I owe you 100, and I say 50, so the rabbi said, nothing doing, when someone does the kindness, although it's a chiyuv, of course, but the kindness of returning a lost object, he's not subject to the shvuos and motor mixas. Otherwise, people just stop getting involved with lost objects. They'll say, why in the world should I get involved in picking up this wallet and returning it to its owner? I just leave it on the floor. Let someone else deal with the shvuos that's going to come when the guy who gets it back claims that something's missing. So since we don't want that to happen, people who return lost objects aren't subject to any shvuos, motor mixas, and therefore this guy similarly, who's being accused by the heir to make a payment, if he says, I admit what I owe you, but I deny the rest, he's not required to take a shvua. Of course, again, if it would be that the heir, the child, would be making a tainas bari, if he'd say, I know with certainty that you owe my father money, whatever, I'm his accountant, I was there all the time, or whatever the story is, then in fact, the accused creditor would need to, it would be a case of motu miktzah, which you would have to give a shvua.